Good morning. You are watching the program with Ted Rall and Jamarl Thomas. It is Tuesday, June 2nd, 2026. Good morning, JT. How are you?
What's going on, man? You doing okay this morning?
I am doing okay. So how are you doing?
I can't complain.
It's like I always say, I could complain, but who would listen? Who would care? So anyway, thanks.
Well,
everyone.
We have an audience.
We do have an audience. Right? Yeah, we do have to care. And we just got a $20 donation from Pugs and Bubs before we even went on the air. So I hope we don't screw that up. Thank you so much. Appreciate that, Pugs. We will, speaking of which, if you have any comments or questions for us, please pipe them in the live hour. That's just starting right now. We have 57 more minutes. It's 9:03 Eastern time. We are here every nine o'clock in the morning Eastern time, Monday through Friday. We also do a Q&A show on Mondays and Wednesdays. We had one yesterday. You might want to check that out. We'll do another one tomorrow, so you might want to tune in for that. TMI show coming up with the returned Milichan at 10 a.m. Okay, I think that's it for the housekeeping. Oh, one more thing. If you are interested in becoming a subscriber to the monthly chat, the $50 monthly chat, or to be a $20 subscriber for a thank you in the end credits, you're on Rumble and not on YouTube, but you want to be part of that, you can contact us, and we get a bigger share of the money anyway if you pay us through PayPal. So I'm going to go ahead and put the PayPal. Several people asked about this. There's our email address that you can send us money through PayPal. If you decide to do that, make sure, this is very important, don't just send the money. If you just send the money, we're going to be like, thank you, but we're not going to know what you want. We're not going to know that it's you want to be in the closing credits. We're not going to know that you want to be part of the $50 private chat. So if you're going to be a recurring $50 a month or a recurring $20 a month PayPal subscriber, let us know in the memo section of your PayPal. And also please email producer Robbie West at westglaciergaming@gmail.com. That's westglaciergaming@gmail. And he will make sure that all the things happen that need to happen, because I always feel bad when that doesn't happen. All right. So that's enough for the thing. Today we're talking about the Trump administration looks like they're about to punt the $1.8 billion anti-weaponization slush fund. President, the amazing leaked phone call between Trump and Bibi Netanyahu. Amazing. We'll be talking about that. Also, major game changer in Lebanon, where Hezbollah is really holding its own due to a type of technology that I'd actually never heard of. Last but not least, we have a missing congressman, the son of legendary Congressman Tom Keene, I think governor also of New Jersey. Basically, nobody knows where this congressman is, and I'm just kind of wondering if maybe there needs to be a new way to deal with this sort of thing, like when legislators go MIA. Anyway, what do you want to talk about first, JT?
The Lebanon thing is fascinating. I did a video last night when it was happening just because I was blown away by what Iran did. Israel obviously was hearing that there were negotiations between the Trump administration and Iran. Israel obviously doesn't want those negotiations to go through. So what did they do? Bibi Netanyahu comes out. We're taking 70% territory in Gaza now. That's what we're going to do. And we're going to take more land in Lebanon. And we're going to have more atrocities. We're going to bomb.
Ceasefire agreement says 53% in Gaza. Yeah.
Exactly. And they're well beyond. They were already at 60. Now they're talking about going to 70. And the agreement that was made between the Patsy government of Lebanon allowed southern Lebanon to be a fighting zone. Basically, they gave up on some level, southern Lebanon, in which case Hezbollah, resistance group, was fighting to defend their territory and to create costs for every centimeter that Israeli troops take. And let's give them credit. FPV drones have been a game changer in regards to that struggle, in regards to that fight, including nighttime FPV drones.
That stands for first person view, which are basically sort of like, you know how like there's the old electric lawnmowers that people would plug in instead of using gas, and basically you had don't run over that thing. So it's like that. It has a long fiber optic cable that unspools for miles and miles. And the advantage of it, of course, is it can't be jammed. It's not Bluetooth. It's not Wi-Fi. It's not GPS. It's its own thing, and it's attached to a plug. You can't hack that fucker unless you fly alongside like a bird and tap into it, right?
Well, so that's what the Russians have been using, and Ukrainians have even started to use in that war, in that theater. And so that has caused all sorts of consequences in regards to the Israeli military getting chewed up. In which case, Netanyahu is like, well, we're going to bomb Beirut. Now, this is obviously provocative. Iran comes out and says, if you do that, we will destroy northern Israel. And here are the areas for the people to leave northern Israel. Basically, we're giving an evacuation notice for northern Israel.
Yeah, you're not. Yeah, you Israelis are not the only people who get to give evacuation orders.
Exactly. And what did Trump do? Trump immediately puts out a tweet. Because initially, Iran said, we stopped negotiations. We're not talking to you anymore. Your dog is out of line.
Yeah, because it hasn't been clear from American media coverage up until now, right? Sorry to interrupt, but that there's that how important we know that the Iranians care about a ceasefire in Lebanon and they care about Hezbollah, but we don't know how much they care until now. Whereas, like they said, no, this is serious for us. We want there's no deal without Lebanon included.
Sorry, right? There's no deal without Lebanon, and they made it ironclad clear last night when they effectively put a shield around Lebanon. And Trump's response was to back down. I talked to Bibi. There would be no troops going into Lebanon. Well, for one, nobody said anything about troops going into Lebanon, but put that to the side for the moment. And then pointed out that I've spoken to Hezbollah, which I don't buy, but whatever. I've spoken to Hezbollah, and the fighting is going to stop. That's amazing. That is astonishing. Well, it's not, and just to be very clear, it's not the astonishing part that Trump pulled Bibi's leash. That's not really it. It's that Iran put down a red line that the United States accepted as being credible and legit of such sufficiency that he yanked the chain of Bibi. That's amazing.
But we can't talk about that without talking about this leak the conversation between Trump and Netanyahu, right? So despite sort of claiming insouciance and saying, oh, I don't really care, like, whatever, I'm cool. Like, if we don't get a deal there, it doesn't matter to me. Behind closed doors, there's a very different Donald Trump. He calls up, we don't know who leaked this, but it's credible. Axios reported, Mark Levin's going crazy, saying they need to find the source and accuse them of treason for destroying the relationship between the U.S. and Israel, whatever. Anyway, he called Netanyahu and said, quote, you're fucking crazy. You'd be in prison if it weren't for me. I'm saving your ass. Everybody hates you now. Everybody hates Israel because of this. Well, and they say Donald Trump doesn't tell the truth. it's like, I give Trump mad points for this. So what it reveals is what, you would kind of expect to be true, but now we know for sure. Basically, Donald Trump has tethered himself to someone it's an unreliable, terrible ally. And now he doesn't know how to get out of it. And he's stuck. It's sort of like when you're dating someone or you're married to someone and they're an asshole, like at dinner to the waiter. And you don't know what to do. You can't really diss them in front of the waiter. But then later you're like, what the fuck was that? That's what this is here. He's in bed with, I mean, the answer here is he needs a divorce. That a divorce would free him. He could date others like Hezbollah and Iran. He would, he likes to do that. And he would no longer be stuck with this like crazy bitch, Bibi. But, that's how this is. But I mean, I don't know if he'll ever see that. I don't know why, whether it's psychological, personal, political, financial, all of the above, something else. I don't know why Trump is in so deep with Israel, but he is. And I mean, and obviously it's literally driving him crazy right now. And everything that Trump told Bibi is true. So it's kind of refreshing to hear that these conversations that, you know, the whole rest of the 8 billion people on Earth are having is shared at the highest levels of power.
I don't know if this conversation is real. Now, don't get me wrong, because look, I saw this out of Axios. Axios has a tendency to be, I would say, a mouthpiece for US intel and for Israeli intel. And they dump the stuff into the chum all the time. Mm-hmm. They would say in a heartbeat, Israel and the United States are at odds. Okay, usually they're not. Usually these guys are on the same page. I am also not of mind, because from my frame of reference, one or two things can be taking place, and a little bit of both. A, there can be the rogue hypothesis, which is that Bibi Netanyahu saw that there were negotiations taking place between the United States and Iran, and they flipped out because of it, in which case they started agitating against it.
Oh, that's totally what happened. Yeah.
Well, that's one idea. The other idea is the U.S. was using Israel to test Iran to see how serious they were about any kind of negotiations or whether Lebanon was included in the mix. To me, both are highly likely and possible. I don't know if...
Well, they can't both be likely. Only one can be likely, but...
Well, no, both can be possible. One can be true.
Right. I think I'm taking A for $1,000, Alex. I think... I mean, I think, look, here's the thing. I believe it's true, and here's why I think it's true. First of all, first and foremost, there's been no denial out of Tel Aviv or out of Washington of this claim. That's really key. There would be if the relationship were ruptured to this point, if the relationship was not ruptured to this point, and Axios is talking shit, there would be threats of lawsuits. There would certainly be public statements, you know, full-throated denials. There's been no denial. It's been like, you know, tumbleweeds blowing across my screen this morning. Also, the timing. Immediately after this, we know that the two men talked. So we know they both issued statements, and they were both rushing to get their messaging out, right, quickly. I think Netanyahu, when I was looking at my Twitter feed this morning, was a little earlier, but he was like, I talked to Trump and everything's cool. And anyway, we're going to chill a little bit in Lebanon because out of respect deference. And then immediately after that, Trump was like, thank you, Bibi, for doing exactly what I wanted. Maybe peace will last forever. It's awesome. But they were both rushing to get their narrative out. That's something that you do when, especially after you've had a conflict. I mean, if you are both on the same page, you both, you know, carefully massage your statement. The statements are virtually identical, but from your own respective points of view. And then they come out at the same time. The fact that this was like a get it out quickly. And, you know, and it's so, the text is so organic in the way that it's written. It's not like it's not written by committee. I totally believe the Axios report. I think it's 100% true.
Well, it was rushed because all of this stuff was happening kind of on the fly, and all of these guys are in utter chaos in regards to what's happening. This is not strategy. This is them acting on the fly. Second, the United States has a vested interest in blaming Israel for shit that takes place in the Middle East, and they do it all the time. It is policy. It is U.S. policy to claim that Israel is the fault. Israel is the rogue actor. Oh, we would have peace if it wasn't fair. They've done it over and over and over. I've seen them do this 1,000 times, as they've been doing it over the course of the entirety of this war and even over the 12-day war, where they act like Israel has just gone rogue, or that there is some kind of division between the U.S. policy and Israeli policy. I don't know that. I don't buy that. Not, at least not coming out of Axios. Now, give it a day. Where Trump is like, no, we're on the same page. Because usually something.
Well, they will say that. And look, JT, I totally normally agree with you. I think 9 times out of 10, that's exactly what happens. But I think, you know,
this feels different to you.
The thing, it feels different, and it really passes the smell test, right? I mean, it just makes sense. It's like it reflects like what's actually happening, which is Trump's trying to negotiate a deal with Iran. And like that's at that time, you don't need your ally fucking anything up. You don't need your ally attacking the ally of your counterpart in these negotiations. You just don't need that, right? So there's no way Trump would have approved of the invasion of Lebanon or the escalation in Lebanon or the threat to bomb Beirut. No way. How could he have approved of that?
Why not?
Because he's trying to make a deal with Iran, which he desperately needs because the entire fucking economy of the world is swirling around the drain, right?
So, yeah, but you don't know if they're serious, which is my point. Like, meaning
they're stupid, but they're not. But they are serious.
Yeah, the U.S. pushes and pushes. What if, for the moment, Iran didn't respond in that way? They would have bombed Beirut.
I think here's the part that y'all are both missing. I follow a lot of the Christian Zionist stuff. Like, one of my favorite, if you just want to just read something that will just piss you off every day, sometimes three or four times a day,
I have the New York Times for that,
called The Pulse of Israel. So basically, I think what this is, they think that Trump is going wobbly, they being the Israelis. And so they leaked this to energize Kufi, Christian Zionist for Israel, AIPAC, a lot of the different groups to start applying political pressure to force Trump, to force his hand, basically to wag that dog. I think that's what this
doesn't explain why Mark Levin is on a crusade to crucify the leaker.
Because he can't, first of all, does he know the Israelis leak it? I think that's who did it. I think this is their dog whistle, trying to create a backlash.
This is someone who was in the Oval Office, in the room.
Maybe.
Where it happened.
We'll see. But I really do think
There's always like 15, 20 people around, around the speakerphone when these calls are happening.
Well, for sure. But how many of those people work for Israel? How many of them are on AIPAC's dole or they're in that room?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, I mean, but like who's most.
Listen, I could be completely wrong on this, but I think this is.
No, I think you're right. I do think they leaked it. I think they leaked it for that. I mean, assuming the conversation is real and assuming Trump did say that, basically, are you out your fucking mind? Are you crazy? Like, you're trying to destroy the U.S. economy. If that's true,
I don't think he was complaining about the economy. I think he was complaining about, like, you're fucking my deal. Everybody hates Israel because of this. Everybody hates you. That's true.
True, but keep in mind, why is he pissed off? He's pissed off because
he needs an Iran deal and Israel's fucking it up.
Yes, Israel is fucking up the U.S. economy. That's what I'm trying to get across to you.
Well, that too.
What do you think Iran is doing right now? This is not a war in the traditional sense of war where they're blowing shit up. Yes, they're blowing shit up, but what they're doing is holding straight in order to damage the U.S. economy. Trump wouldn't give a shit if it wasn't for the U.S. economy being on the teetering. That's what I'm trying to point out. Like, he's like, dude, what are you doing? Like, meaning, yes, I agree with you. I'm willing to kill as many Muslims as you are. You're fucking up my deal because the deal is basically trying to keep the U.S. economy on play.
Right. Well, okay. Yes, no, I totally agree. We have a bunch of comments to get through.
He leaked it for that very specific reason. Trump is weak. Trump looks weak. Pressure. More pressure on Trump.
Well, okay. We will see. I think the lack of denials, though, speaks volumes. All right, here we go. You need to do a deathbed alien confessions tell-all book with your father. Thanks very much for that dollar donation and for that suggestion. Again, thanks for the $20 donation from Pugs and Bubs. Harry Balsack, what if all the world leaders were working together to bring about modernization and depopulation down to 500 million with only elites and slaves to do what AI and automation can't do? Fish, orange, wide eyes. Yeah, but they're not. you can do the illustrations. True. Thanks for that dollar. Bugs and Bubs. Hoping everyone donates to keep this show on the air. It's so important to hear Ted's, Jamal's, and Robbie's voices. Thank you so much. Really appreciate you guys. You. And all of you. Jack Samuels, thanks for the $1.99. Thoughts on the LA mayor's race versus the New York City primary is today. That's true. There's a bunch of primaries. I didn't put those into the rundown today just for the simple reason that we're not going to have any results really until at least tomorrow. In the California governor's runoff is going to be the one thing everyone's really looking at. LA mayor's race, I guess the Karen Bass is, you know, is more on the ropes than one would possibly expect. I think she was weakened by the confrontations with ICE because the progressive base didn't feel that she pushed back hard enough against ICE. And then conservatives in LA, and there are a lot of them, viewed that she was, she was anti-law enforcement. So the whole thing is she was in a no, she kind of like doesn't have her constituency lined up. I mean, it's kind of like she's sort of in the, when you're a moderate, you got nobody. I don't know. What do you think about that?
This is the mayor for California?
LA.
Okay.
LA. Yeah, remember when there were running street battles between ICE and protesters in LA? I mean, Angelenos don't play. When there's political protests, it's very serious.
And she's in a mayoral race that she's effectively losing.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, we'll check in on all that tomorrow, of course, obviously. Yeah. There's a bunch of special elections. We'll be reading the tea leaves. And I just feel like, you know, it's not really the most interesting story to be like, we'll be watching this. We'll be watching that. We'll be watching. Yeah, let's watch it. And we'll just see what happens tomorrow. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
Method, thanks so much for the £2 from Method. Much appreciated. Also, thanks for the £2 from Count Zero. Much appreciated. Okay. PhD Nick Rivera, the leak to, quote, scare quotes around leak to Israeli mouthpiece Axios provides both Trump and BB cover. That is the JT Robbie narrative. We'll see. John D. Cockefeller, fuck that fat orange fuck. Credit for telling the truth for once, but I just paid $83 to fill up an 18-gallon tank. He can suck a fart out of my asshole. Yeah, I'm on that team. I recently paid about the same for mine. FUSO, Larry Johnson says Iran already has nukes with help from nuclear state. He said they will do a nuke test soon. We shall see.
Yes. So we were on Jimmy Dore last night. Garland was running the show. He brought me on.
Nice.
Larry Johnson came on later in the show and said that. Mm-hmm. Again, when somebody asked me about that, I was like, there's no way for me to cooperate that one way or the other. And I'm not, Larry Johnson is not a source, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Like, meaning you can't run with that as a real legitimate thing until they actually do it.
For people who don't know, who's Larry Johnson?
Oh, Larry Johnson is a military guy. So he's a CIA. He's a former CIA guy. But he gives commentary now on, let's say, military and global events.
But he doesn't have a source. I mean, this is a big allegation, right? I mean,
it is a big allegation. But he is connected in the sense that he used to work in intel, kind of like Colonel McGregor. For example, War McGregor was like, I'm being told so-and-so by people who were in the thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, you have to take it with a grain of salt. There's no way to evaluate who he knows or what they know. So,
okay, gotcha. More comments. F you so, thanks for the dollar. Maybe Trump caught RFK's junior's brain worms. there's a picture, by the way, on X today of RFK Jr. back in the 70s handling, fucking around with a puff adder snake. And I'm like,
really?
Okay, so that's really cool. It's also really crazy. But then I'm like, really cool is often a subset of really crazy. So
wait, what is a puff adder snake? I don't know what that is.
Highly venomous, you know, snake. It's a
What is it?
Like it's a bitey dude who fucks you, like, you know. But he's like playing. He's fucking around with it, playing with it. I mean, he likes snakes. He loves animals. That guy. Maybe diaper dongs. Don's issue is that no one is assigned to change his diapers when he has a load. That would make me grumpy. Thanks for the dono there. Maybe Bluth Funk. Good reminder there. Didn't BB put a microphone in a UK prime minister's toilet? Yeah, he did.
That's true?
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. Personally. Like, what a nut. I forget who it was that he... Was it Tony Blair, maybe? I think, or maybe someone else. It was someone else, I think. Manchild, thanks for the $2. Trump has mastered the art of the squeal. Nice. Oh, my God. Thanks for the $49 donation from Crown Heights Brainiac. We keep going back and forth wondering if the BB Trump and Backstreet Boys are breaking up, but who wants to take the bet that this is going until the summer and gas is going to get to $10 a gallon? Iran is waiting for the economy to croak and impeach Trump.
Yes.
I agree on all that, including the 10 bucks.
By the way, I don't even know how, I mean, standing still is a problem, right? Like, I mean, you can't just keep the blockade up. Donald Trump could only jawbone for so long about, oh, we're almost at a deal. We're almost at a deal. Okay. Can you really do that for 3-4 months?
No. But yeah. Okay. So, Arian Gordy, thanks for being a member. 3 months. 3 months of great independent news. Hopefully our country doesn't even turn even more fascist so you guys don't get censored. Thank you for deprogramming us. You're welcome. And thanks for the $19 donation from Arian Gorty. Ted, thought on your quality of life expectations during the World Cup, laughing my ass off. Jamarl, what to do to get better at chess? Robbie, should I apply to a master's in Montana for all? If you were president and had this power, how are you dealing with this? Okay, so I'll go first. We're going in order here. Okay, so quality of life expectations from the World Cup. Fortunately, fewer people are coming to New York than were originally anticipated. So it probably won't have as much of an impact, but it's still going to largely suck. And I'm going to do what all New Yorkers do when stupid, annoying, out-of-town events happen in a city that's completely doesn't have the infrastructure to prepare for it, which is to be out of town as much as possible. What would I do? And we can all do the president thing later. JT, your question was what to do to get better at chess.
You play and you lose. You play and you lose. That's how I got better at it. At the point where you get well enough, where you understand the game and the concepts of the game, studying certain books helps. So there is one of the best books that I've ever come across was The Most Instructive Games Ever Played in Chess. It is very good. It is very good. And it breaks down, it's using archaic notation because the book is old, but it's one of the best books you'd ever get in chess. One of the most fun ones is The King Hunt. That's another good one that's really good in chess. Macau Tao books are really good too, especially if you're trying to get better at attacking. If you're looking at more strategic play, Petrosian book, and there's another one by Karpov that are exceptional at thing. It just depends on your style of play. As I got older, I went from being more tactical to more strategic. And so all of them are ways of getting better.
And Robbie, should Arian apply to a master's in Montana?
Yeah, sure. If you do, go to the University of Montana. That way you'll only be 103 miles south of Kalispell. And I can go there, meet up with you, and give you the 25-cent tour. It's a big place.
Nice. Yeah. Montana is awesome. I mean, you know, it's like, no, if someone was like, oh, you have to live in Montana, I'd be like, okay, that works for me. Yeah.
There's worse options.
I wouldn't say that about every state.
I mean, you could be asked to live in Maryland.
That's true. That would be, although there's the Outer Banks are awesome in Maryland.
And Silver Spring is fantastic.
Annapolis is beautiful.
Yeah, it's very tiny, and there's not much hunting there.
True. True.
Well, there's enough hunting. Plus, there's Blair Witch Project. There's witches.
Ted, I'm in Montana. My county is bigger than Maryland.
That could well be. Okay, now the question of, if you were president and had this power, how are you dealing with this current situation? Oh, I would be willing to risk assassination, and I would go on national television, and I would not tell my handlers what I plan to talk about. And then I would say the United States is severing all financial and military ties to Israel and demands an immediate withdrawal from all the occupied territories and around and surrounding countries. And we're done here. And I would give the long detailed speech about the genocide. I would show pictures. It would be a big show and tell. I would blow up the US relationship with Israel.
Yeah, it would truth and reconciliation.
JT?
What would you do? Tucker Carlson had on the show. Oh God, it's just rough. Bring that guy. Have that guy talking. It's like you said, show pictures.
Robbie.
I would do a lot. Well, you're talking about Ted, but I would do a little bit different. I would give my handlers a BS script. I would then go on and say, not only am I breaking relations, I would then release all of the JFK files showing that Israel was responsible for the assassination of a U.S. president. I would release everything on the USS Liberty, and I would ask Congress for a declaration of war.
Okay. Gesture. There we have it. Gentlemen, we have some breaking news. We have a new DNI to replace Tulsi Gabbard. William Pult, or Pulte, not sure how you pronounce that, P-U-L-T-E, William Pulte, head of the FHFA, the Federal Housing Finance Agency, is going to be the acting head of the Office of Director of National Intelligence. Apparently, Clovis, my cat, was not available. This is a guy who referred several of Trump's enemies for prosecution for mortgage fraud. So he's that guy.
This is bad.
He's qualified.
Here's the quote. William has deep experience managing the most sensitive matters in America, the safety and soundness of the markets. Made over $10 trillion at Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, a substantial increase from where it was just 12 months ago. During this period, he will remain director of the Federal Housing Finance Agency and chairman of Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, which are big jobs, by the way. Congratulations to Director Pulte. Pulte previously owned a construction company, a private equity firm, has zero high-level national security experience.
They are basically saying DNI doesn't matter.
That's right.
I mean, not only are they putting somebody in charge who was in finance into an intel agency, but they're keeping him on the same jobs in Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac while they do so.
It's your side hustle.
That's amazing. They're effectively saying the DNI doesn't matter.
At all. Which apparently is true, because I mean, when you and I remember when they created the DNI post, it sounded like that person was going to be the intel czar, and it turns out they don't. Yeah, they basically they're in charge of everything but ruling nothing is basically how it turns out.
Rub, though. I think power is taken. I think if you had that office, you could be strong in that office. If the president allowed you to be strong in that office, hell, you can be strong in that office even if they didn't. Kind of.
I'm not so sure.
You don't think so? You think it's just the?
I think the structure of it doesn't allow for it. You know, I mean, sure, obviously, you can make any office through a bully pulpit if you have a bully pulpit. But Donald Trump makes sure that there's only one bully pulpit, and I think structurally, it's like it doesn't have inherent. It's not like Secretary of State that just has inherent power. All right. Well, anyway, that's enough of that. Let's see if there's any advertisements. There probably will be. Thank you very much for the $10 donation from DeathGuy556. All of you are pretty old, true, and have. It's just the other day I got like someone was mad at me online said whatever old man, and I'm like, okay, I never said I was anything other than 62 years old, but whatever, and have been politically active for a while. What are your expectations for the future what were your expectations for the future when you were younger compared to reality? Oh, God, that's a great question. I love that question. Do you want to take it or do you want me to do it?
So when I was a child, I don't know what I thought. I don't know what I thought, to be honest. I don't think I had thoughts one way or the other. I mean, my objectives were very specific to whatever was going on at the time. It was like maybe within a 5-year period. So it was kind of like a live, because from 17 to 27, I stayed in the hospital most of the time, going through surgery after surgery after surgery. My 17 to 27 was hellish. In fact, I didn't think of anything during that time frame because it was always something that was falling apart or there was always some kind of major catastrophe. By the time I hit 27, that's when I was in a relationship. So I was like, okay, well, this is going on, et cetera. And then I got married and my life ended. Until I got divorced. Right.
This is the first day of the end of your life.
Right. Right. No, like for the long, like from the time I was 17 to maybe 20 to maybe 30, it was just kind of surviving. I didn't have these kind of long-term plans. I didn't know that it was going to be a long term. So no, that's more complicated for me. That question is hard.
I think there's the implication that maybe a young person would have been optimistic and then grew up and be disappointed. But that wasn't the case for me. I mean, I'm old Gen X. And, you know, when I was five, I learned how to read from, my mom taught me how to read on her lap, reading the pages of the newspaper, which was 1968, right? So it's the assassination of MLK. It's the race riots. It's the Tet Offensive. It's the world is on fire. And, you know, that was my childhood, was Richard Nixon, Watergate, resignations, OPEC, fuel crisis. I mean, America in decline, the town where I grew up, Dayton, Ohio, rusting away, factories closing, businesses closing. My elementary school closed due to declining enrollment in second grade. Then the school I went to from third to sixth closed due to declining enrollment. Then my junior high school, after I went there, closed to declining enrollment. And my high school merged with the school across the way due to declining enrollment. Everything has been about decline and collapse. So, I was trying to also keep my head above water economically. I was from a very poor family. Child Protective Services was involved. I was underweight. I was a sick little kid, maybe not as sick as you, but I had a lot of operations too. So just keeping my head above water, just like surviving, was like my main thing. I followed politics avidly, but I guess my point is my expectation was very formed by something my mother told me. She said, like in the 70s, I remember she said, you know, your generation is always going to have been overshadowed by this baby boomer generation that preceded you. They're going to use up all the resources, take all the jobs, have all the good deals. They're going to have all the great government programs. And by the time your generation comes along, you will never have had anything. She had read a bunch of articles about demographers predicting this. That turned out to be totally true. And so I guess I was expecting a downward trajectory, and I have not been disappointed by that. What's interesting is, like, you just don't know, you know, you're falling out of a building. You just don't know how many things you're going to bang on the way down. So I'm open-eyed for the trip, and I'm like curious about the how, like, well, how is this collapse going to look? But the idea that, like, we were going to have like a recovery, like when Reagan was like, it's morning in America, or like Trump, America is back. I never for one second believed that that was a possibility, that this country would ever be able to reverse its decline, that we would ever, you know, have an Emperor Hadrian moment where, you know, things would temporarily turn around. I just didn't believe that. And so I guess my point is, things are roughly where I thought they would be, which is to say shitty. I just didn't know what kind of shitty we were going to have. Does that make sense?
We weren't politically minded, so we didn't think of it in those terms.
Mm.
It was political. So she explained that stuff in a political sense to you. You were paying attention to it.
My mom was very political. Yeah.
Well, I didn't get this way till I was 30.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit. I can't believe it happened in the world. And I can't believe this has happened, especially when we started reading history.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It has happened. All this has happened, like in Battlestar Galactica. All this has happened before, and all this will happen again. Okay, so Crown Heights Brainiac, thanks for the $9.99. That's no different than making Ben Carson a neurosurgeon as the head.
That's what I was about. That's exactly what I was thinking. I was thinking the exact same thing.
Translation: he's pro-Trump and a Zionist.
Yeah. It's like, how the hell?
Well, Secretary Edwards under Reagan was a dentist, the energy secretary. So, you know, it's not without precedent. James Watt, the Secretary of the Interior, hated the environment. You know, like, you're kind of in charge of the environment. I mean, you know, and then there's the WWE lady at education, like, weird. Crown Heights Brainiac Ted, thanks for the $9.99. Ted, please ask Jamarl about his unhealthy crush on Coco for Cocoa Puffs.
Callus. Kaja Callus. Because she looks like my ex-girlfriend. She looks a lot like my ex-girlfriend. And, you know, my ex-girlfriend one day saw the show and heard me say that. And she was like, how are you comparing me to her? And then I think the thing that really pissed her off was because I said Callus is dumb as a box of rocks. And it was like, you're comparing her to me and you're saying that she's dumb as a box of rocks. And it's like, I'm not saying you're dumb. I'm saying Callus is dumb. It's like, yeah, but you're comparing her to me. Yeah, I'm attracted to her. I think she's sexy as shit.
Yeah.
She's dumb.
Yeah, look, we've had this conversation before. Like, you know, yeah. It's like Lauren Boebert. Man, I'm attracted to her. I mean, I would never go near her, but I'm attracted to her. But like a moth to the flame. I don't know why. I don't know why I'm attracted to her, but you know, you can't explain these things. It certainly isn't due to her her towering intellect, or but whatever.
She can talk to me all night about attacking China and Russia.
let's do it. Let's.
Jasmine Crockett is hot. Let's throw that out there.
That's true. Let's. All right. While we're at that. All right. So I'm glad we're all like dirty dogs here. Okay. So let's do an ad for Rumble Premium. You've probably noticed Rumble is growing fast and it's not slowing down. They're building a real alternative to big tech that puts creators first and actually protects free speech. Now there's Rumble Premium, an easy way to upgrade your experience with Premium. You get free ad viewing across the platform. No pre-rolls, no interruptions, just the content you came for. Plus, Premium members unlock exclusive content like bonus videos, behind-the-scenes drops, and more from your favorite creators. Right now, Rumble is offering $10 off an annual subscription. Just go to rumble.com/premium. Use the promo code studio at checkout. That's rumble.com/premium. Promo code studio. No ads, more freedom, and content you actually care about. That's the deal. And just a reminder of the situation over on YouTube, which you don't have to be on YouTube to do this. You can be on Rumble, but basically, you do have to be on YouTube to just be a $5 a month subscriber and support the show. And it really helps us to have those ongoing regular monthly memberships. I mean, it's huge. And then also for $20 a month, you'll be thanked in the closing credits at the end of the show that Trent updates regularly. Those are not just old, those are real. And for $50 a month, we do an exclusive monthly chat, which, by the way, we're due to do this week for those of you who have already signed up for this. So if you are on YouTube, you can do it directly through YouTube. And if you are on Rumble, you can become a subscriber. Just go to Deprogram PayPal, deprogrampodcast@gmail.com, and become a $20 subscriber or a $5 subscriber, and then put it in the note and then email West Glacier Gaming, that's Robbie, at Gmail, and he'll take care of it, make sure it all happens for you. All right, so that's enough of that. More comments. FUSO poll, do you want Iran to get nukes at this point? Yes.
Yes. Yes. Should have already had them.
I don't like proliferation, but they need them.
Yeah. I mean, it's not that I want them to use them, right? Nukes are to be shown, not to be used. But do they need a balancer? Yes. Do they need a deterrent? Yes.
Totally. Yes. Totally. Okay. John D. Cockefeller. I feel the same way about AOC as Ted feels about Lauren Boebert. I find her mentally repulsive, but that photo of her in her Boston College shirt, busty as all hell, has me feeling a certain way. Yeah, and she's, you know, Latina-ing, filling out in a nice, curvy Latina way that's, as she gets older, makes her even more appealing, I would say. Yeah. You know, I never really have an eye for the young ladies. I just don't. I've always liked women about my age or older, maybe significantly older. So it's kind of like, with AOC, I'm like, I see it theoretically, but now I'm like, oh, I could see why people... There's something about her. She has crazy eyes. That part I don't like, but you know.
Crazy eyes. Okay. I don't think she's bad looking.
Oh no, she's definitely not bad looking by any means. I would never say that.
Yeah, she's attractive.
Who's
crazy eyes?
Who's the hottest? Who are the hottest politicians, you guys think?
AOC. AOC and Jasmine Crockett are up there.
Obviously, Kalis. Annalena Baerbock is...
Lauren Boebert.
I don't know if it's the German language. I don't know what it is. It's something about the accent. AOC is very attractive. Crockett is that bad. I don't know. I need to list. But this,
I kind of have the hots for Elizabeth Warren, too.
Can't be a man at this moment.
I have the hots for Elizabeth Warren.
Was it her beer commercial from back in the day when she was running for president? Is that what won you over? Honey, do you want a beer?
I don't know about that one. But she's cute. I bet she's so fun in bed. But anyway.
Like a cold fish.
Elizabeth Trout.
I'm serious. Well, she's watch out for the geeky girls. The geeky girls always be like crazy in the sack. Also,
well, she's okay, an Indian.
Best looking guys. Okay, it's not Kash Patel.
No, it's not Kash Patel.
I mean, I suppose for a certain kind of homoerotic way, it might be Pete Hegseth.
Maybe. Yeah. But that's the callous of men.
Oh, who's RFK Jr. is kind of the Daniel Craig of American politics.
Like I can see that. Him lifting weights. He has a six
Craggy.
Pack. Yeah.
Like, you know, been through a lot, doing mostly his own fault.
Yeah, Hegseth is probably the Kalis of men. I'm trying to think of who else. I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't think, what's his name? From California.
Newsom.
I don't think he's really that good looking. I think he's like, you know, Channel 2 weather with Gavin Newsom, Eyewitness News.
Right? California would be better off if he was a weatherman.
I always feel like he's cheap, like he's looking at the woman.
California weatherman is like such a...
He's looking at the next woman who's right beside him.
California weatherman is such a no-show job. It's like, well, today it's going to be 78 and sunny. Tomorrow, 79 and sunny. Then 78 and sunny again for the weekend. It's like, great. Wow, hard work there.
We're getting rain.
Yeah.
Woo!
So foreign leader.
Ooh.
Who do you think is the hottest foreign leader? I think the Japan's prime minister is pretty hot.
Do you?
Oh yeah. I know. I'm talking about someone with crazy eyes.
At the risk of being called gay, I think Emmanuel prime minister. I think Emmanuel Macron is a big swinging dick, as a guy.
Agreed.
No, his husband agrees.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went there.
Oh, what's your name? Oh, Van der Leyen. The EU.
No. Your taste of women sucks.
No.
It's definitely. I'll tell you who it's not is that Japanese prime minister.
No, that's what I'm talking about. The Japanese prime minister, she's hot.
Oh, well, she. Well, Ted is saying she's not.
Disgusting.
Well, he thinks that Van der Leyen is hot. You know, her with her bulletproof hair. I mean, that thing could repel a bullet.
Well, that could come in handy next time someone takes a shot at me at a book signing.
Yes, it's.
Yeah, John D. Rockefeller. He votes for that. The leader of Estonia. God, what the hell is her name?
Oh God,
I agree. No, she is. Yeah, she's crazy hot.
Yeah,
she's very attractive.
And anyway, too bad she's gone. Benazir Bhutto was hot.
When I pointed out that I was into Kalis and Baerbock, my audience knows me at this point. They know that I'm attracted to both. They were like, he's only into white women. And it's like, dude, we're talking about world leaders. Like, it's not like...
yeah, there's not a lot of choices here, yeah. Especially female.
African countries and start picking out women from African countries, but that would just be kind of strange.
Well, there's not very many of them either.
I'm not particularly attracted to white women. I prefer I like black and girls have got what's this word color. So I like.
You see, I'm open ended. Anywhere I've gone, I've been attracted to the women at every location.
Yeah, I can notice some trends, but there's no no fly zones for me.
Yeah.
you like the ugly women. The uglier, the better. That's what you
are. I see beauty in places you don't. That's just because I'm not shallow, because I'm an artist.
I'm an incredibly shallow person.
Also, let me just tell you, Elizabeth Warren, I'm telling you, that little body.
So if you had to pick between Van der Leyen and Warren, which one would it be? Would the Native American win?
Van der Leyen.
Or would the crazy German?
No, I got to go with the crazy German, because then there's like really? There's the possibility of cosplay there.
So then you like Nazis then?
It's like totally. There's the possibility of like, so Mr. Raw, you are with the resistance. Tell us where they are hiding.
I could see that. Yeah. Let me see. Spec Chicago says New Zealand's prime minister. Let me look who that is.
She is attractive.
F-U-Zo, my parasocial crush is Brianna Joy Gray. Yeah, she's not unattractive. That's true.
Ah, see, I don't want to go for people who are in my space. I don't want to name anybody in my space. That just feels weird.
This is like a TMI segment than a deep program.
Yeah,
that's true. But who cares?
I'm just imagining meeting Brianna Joy Gray.
Whatever, like, whatever. Guys, we got to talk about. I don't know how much we need to say about the slush fund going away. I mean, but we should take note of it. The $1.8 billion slush fund. It's not DOA yet, but it's definitely. I think its days are numbered. The anti-weaponization fund, right? So basically, we don't need to reintroduce what this is. Everybody who watches the show knows. But I thought it was interesting. It's a little bit of jujitsu, right? I mean, so a federal judge issued a ruling that said, like, yeah, this is temporarily enjoined, and the administration, instead of saying "fuck you," we're appealing to the U.S. Supreme Court. So, okay, we'll abide by this for the foreseeable future, which is sort of their passive way of saying, ain't nothing we can do. It's the judiciary and the activist left-wing judges. Not our fault. Can't do anything. Oh, well. But the truth is they're getting, Republicans don't like this thing either. And they're catching all sorts of shit as they go into the midterms about it. It was really unpopular. There were shouting matches in the Republican conference over this in the U.S. Senate. Ted Cruz talked about it, confirmed it. So I just thought it was interesting the way they bowed out, like sort of like, well, we're not going to make it look like our idea. We're just going to be like, we respect the courts, as you well know. So we're out. Not something that really they do very often.
To get back to more important news, John D. Cockefeller Ted says that Angela Merkel is more your.
Oh, God, stop. No, Angela Merkel is more man than I'll ever be. So, yeah, no, thank you.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This was such an overreach that, like, even, like, meaning it's an overreach even for Trump. Like, just so the audience understands what we're talking about. I put Ted Raw, I'm president. I put Ted Raul as heading the Justice Department. I bring a lawsuit against the U.S. government for $10 billion. Ted Raul, the man who I put in my Justice Department, settles with me and says, okay, I'll settle for $1.8 billion.
You got me.
And the Justice Department says, okay. That's outrageous.
That's what happened. And it's taxpayer funded. So Republicans seem to be about to ally with Democrats, at least some Republicans, enough of them to make it happen. They're going to try. They may be able to get a veto-proof majority to make sure that this never happens again. They're going to change the structure of the compensation program that currently was established under Obama to settle things like, people in a federal park, falling off a bench and cracking their head. So those are, those allocations don't need to be done through Congress, but they're going to make sure that this can't be expanded again in this kind of way. So this is really, I think, dead.
Yeah, this is outrageous.
Let's talk about Tom Keene. You're down there in Washington, D.C. Tom Keene's the son of the legendary New Jersey politician, Tom Keene. He's been missing now for months. He hasn't shown up at his office. He hasn't shown up for any votes. Apparently he has spoken to Speaker Johnson, but Speaker Johnson's not saying if he's sick, what's going on with him. Is he having a mental health crisis? We have no idea. Is he just on the Appalachian Trail? Who fucking knows, right? But this is not the first time this happened. I mean, there was a Congress lady in Texas a couple of years ago who was out for months, and it turned out she was dead. at her, or yeah, she had died at a nursing home. She'd had a health episode, had been sent to an old folks home, and then croaked. And then it was like Texas, you know, this district in Texas didn't have its congressperson. There's got to be a better way to run a railroad in a 250-year-old republic, right? I mean, surely there should be a mechanism where, like, if we don't hear from you from time to time, if you don't check in for votes, if you don't say, "Hi, Speaker Johnson, I'm still doing my job," that, like, there's an investigation that basically determines what's going on, looks for you, maybe replaces you, I mean, calls a special election. This is starting to happen too often.
These people are ancient and they're like dying in office. I mean, Dianne Feinstein, they should have replaced her several times over. I mean, she was ancient. And I guess my thing is, I agree with you. Like the idea that these people are not representing their particular, because what it boils down to is they're not representing their district. They're not doing their jobs, which is what it ultimately.
They're fucking off. Yeah. They're just like, yeah.
Yeah, whether they're dead, whether they're in a nursing home, or whether they're just fucking off and, you know, taking bonk hits, it still boils down to the same thing. They're not effectively representing their districts in the area to which they're supposed to be representing them. It's a problem. And yeah, you're right. They need to be, like, there has to be some provision to take these people out.
I mean, I don't know what that provision would look like. I mean, I would think, look, normally I think the governor appoints an acting replacement until there's a special election, right? So, right. I mean, this should be some, I think maybe we need a constitutional amendment that just makes this, that, you know, triggers something that happens in the same way that, you know, we needed one for the vice presidential succession to clarify matters, because it wasn't really clear in the 19th century exactly what happened when something happened to the president. Same thing should be true for congressmen and senators. I mean, obviously.
Yeah, agreed. Whether it's a vice, I don't know, in the position, that would be a little bit weird. Or whether there's a special election or something that's triggered after an inquiry. I mean, but then the issue becomes, okay, when is the inquiry going to take place? And now they're really going to have an inquiry. It's like stuff like that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. Either way, what it boils down to is they're not representing their district, either because they're dead bunkets with their mistress. What was it? What was it? Santos, where he was out with the woman in like Ecuador somewhere, or Puerto Rico, or somewhere like that?
Well, Santos wasn't out with any women. Santos was gay like the day is long. I know who you're talking about, though. Who was Santos. It who was on the Appalachian Trail, who was like, he was like having sex with some crazy Argentine.
Yeah, he was living his best life.
He was. Yeah, good for him. Just a comment. Want to acknowledge a donation from Peter Ive. I once met Tulsi at a speech, spoke to her afterwards. She made sure to hold my hand after shaking it for the whole time. I didn't watch it for days. Yeah, Tulsi is definitely hot.
That's awkward. She's very attractive.
Yeah, no question. And
but she's pretty calm.
And here we go. Three strike digital design and innovation. Thanks for the $2. Three strikes, you're out. Miss three votes, you are out. I'm not sure I have a problem with that, unless you have a doctor's note.
A doctor's note? That feels sweaty.
Gotta have a doctor's note. All right. We're done here. It's 10 o'clock Eastern time, which means time to go to TMI with me and Manila Chan. Actually, with me and Manila Chan. We will be, JT and I will be back tomorrow. Thank you so much for your kind support today. We will see you tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern time. Bye, JT.
Melissa, hi. Bye-bye, guys.
I will do that.